Good afternoon. Oops, actually, good evening, everybody. You've tuned into Paradigm Shifters, and to me, Veronica Entwistle, a paradigm shifter is somebody who's making a difference in the collective at this time on our wild and woolly planet Earth. Tonight's paradigm shifter is really making a difference, and she's a bit of a wizard on business and helping us sort of match our skills with the changing business world at this point, plus other things. She's also an intuitive. Our friend and guru here is Madeline Gerwook. Welcome to the show, Madeline.
Oh, thank you, Veronica. So glad to be here.
I'm really glad you're here. Now, your website, PolarisBusinessGuides.com, is actually a very rich and full website for people to listen to. They can listen to your radio shows on the economic world, and the business guides are the daily guides that you've got going, good timing guides.
Yes, right. I have an unusual background because I have a degree in economics, and I have, I'm a certified astrologer, and so I do business and economic astrology as well as personal astrology.
I think I tripped over my Mercury retrograde and forgot to mention astrology.
Easy to do during Mercury retrograde, which we're in right now.
It has been for me this particular retrograde. But when did you start with the, astrology first or with your degree in economics?
And well, they actually kind of happened about the same time. As I was studying economics, I started studying astrology too. And when I graduated, I got into sales and marketing, and I was continuing to study astrology because it takes a lot longer to study astrology than it does to study economics. I know it sounds kind of strange, but it probably took me 19 years to get certified as an astrologer because it's such a complex subject.
It really is, isn't it?
Yeah, very complex, yeah. So, as I was going along, you see, I was learning and observing how the astrological cycles were playing out in businesses and in the economy. And, of course, at that time there were not too many business astrologers. There's still not that many of us yet today, but it's becoming more utilized than what it was when I first got into it.
What did I read here in your stuff that Disney was a he consulted?
Yes, Walt Disney. Yes, absolutely. He and J.P. Morgan were two of the best-known users of astrology, and they used it for timing their important business activities.
Hmm.
So my good timing guide is just a way for people to have a window into good timing for them. And they can know, okay, this day is not going to have a good final result. This one is. Here's a timeout period when nothing's going to come of it. I don't think I want to do my important activity during that time.
Isn't today a kind of a red, not a great day for us?
That's right. Today is a timeout. It's pretty much an all-day timeout. In the Pacific time zone, it's a timeout from like 9:14 a.m. until 10:13 p.m.
Oh, my, really?
Yeah, so it's a pretty long timeout. And actually, timeout periods can occur on average 3 times a week, but a lot of them are shorter than that. So
what do people do? Obviously, we're still functioning here on timeout.
Right.
you don't get paid leave on a timeout, do you?
Yeah. Well, actually, timeouts have some very good things to do. They're great for finishing up anything. They're wonderful for cleaning up, filing, organizing. They're really good for brainstorming, sending in your taxes as long as you're honest on them, and of course making sure that they actually are received with some kind of return receipt. But
so it's a bit like Mercury retrograde, but a kind of a shorter period of time.
A little bit different from Mercury retrograde in that timeout periods are very much like in sports where you can't score because the ball isn't in play. So during a Mercury retrograde, you're redoing things, rethinking things, replanning things, fixing things, repairing things, that kind of type of situation. But you can still score during a Mercury retrograde. It's just a different situation. But during a timeout period, you really can't, if you have a major project that you were introducing, for the first time. Like, for example, it wouldn't be a good time to have your first radio show.
Hmm.
Or it wouldn't be a good time to introduce a new product or to hire somebody or to buy something. When you buy something during a timeout period, you literally, those are the things that sit in your closet and you never use them.
Oh, really?
Or you take them back because there's something wrong with them. You know, they're missing something or they have some small flaw or, you know, there's something like that wrong with them. And basically you're missing some kind of critical piece of information during a timeout period.
So when it's a time on, what is that called?
I just call it a restart. In other words, after the timeout is over, you know, you're basically into a go mode again. And so then you can push forward and make your decisions, take actions that are important, those kinds of things.
Oh, I see. Okay. Moon enters back. Okay, so let's talk about, let's see. Now, we're having a bit of a timeout on the economic level. Are we not?
Yes.
And, you know, so many people are afraid right now because there's been, we've heard, those of us who are in the intuitive world, New Ages and so on, have heard for a long time that at this period, a lot of the systems would break down.
Mm-hmm.
We all used to go, hooray, that's going to be wonderful, right? And now there's so many people terrified about this layoff, that layoff, people's retirement isn't going to be okay, and blah, blah. And I know that you have a lot of insights regarding the evolution of a new system, don't you?
Yes. Astrology shows this major transformation very clearly. And this actually all started originally in 2000 when we started an economic revolution. So this is the big 40-year period from 2000 to 2040 during which we are changing over from an old economy, which was more nuts and bolts, more, you know, what they call bricks and mortar economy. And in astrological terms, we called it an earth economy. So the old earth economy was based on things like manufacturing and services and agriculture and financial products, tangible kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's switching over to what we call an air economy, meaning that the economy is going to be based on things like information and data, transportation, communications, the internet, technology, innovation, and all types of relationships, alliances,
now
partnerships.
Now, that's interesting, too. You say all kinds of relationships, alliances, and I heard the word collaboration, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Collaboration is very key to this particular type of economy. So within that 40-year period, we're now entering a 16-year period, which started last January, and this will take us through to 2024, where we're undergoing an economic transformation. And the word transformation indicates a permanent change, something that you cannot go backwards from, can't go back to what it used to be. And I loved Kreon's explanation of why we're going through this. And I heard it just last, about a week ago, week and a half ago, when Lee Carroll came to Seattle. And Kreon was saying that, basically, a big congratulations to the American people for taking on the biggest issue that we have, which is greed and corruption. And, of course, that means that in order to do the clean out, you know, things have to change, and we're not going to have the old structures that were supporting greed and corruption. And he was basically, you know, congratulating us because our consciousness has changed to the point that we're not willing to accept it anymore. And that's why this is happening.
Excellent.
Yeah. From an astrological point of view, the changes have to occur in order to create a sustainable economy that nurtures not only ourselves, but the earth too. So we can't be putting more toxins into us and into the earth. That has to change completely. We have to build an economy that's sustainable without creating debt, so it can't be a consumer economy. You know, probably the last 15 to 20 years, somehow our economy went off course, and we went away from investing into the economy to running it based on consumerism. Mm-hmm. You know, how much can you sell to an individual? But, you know, that's, you know, you can't keep loading up debt and more debt and more debt and more debt ad infinitum to keep that running, you see.
Right.
And so it's not sustainable. It has to go the other way. It has to become based on investment again instead of consumerism.
Is the Pluto in Capricorn, is that the biggest statement, astrological statement about this transition time?
Yes, yes. Pluto has moved into the sign of Capricorn. Now, it hasn't been there since 1761 through 1778. So the last time it was there, we became a nation, and that was a major transformation and a major economic transformation as well, because when we first got Pluto in Capricorn, the English told us that, hey, you colonists over there, you can't manufacture anything of your own. You have to ship us all your raw materials, and we're going to manufacture everything for you. This was known as mercantilism.
Hmm.
And it was actually one of the big reasons why they had the Boston Tea Party. You know, the taxation piece was just kind of the creme de la creme, so to speak, on the whole issue.
Hmm.
And the economic control that was being foisted on them was the bigger underlying issue for the revolution. So,
well, isn't that's very parallel to today, where we had huge economic control, and I always think we were enslaved.
Yes, yes, that's right. And actually, in the next 2010 to 2015. Those years are very much about economic revolution.
Great.
And we will have some pretty major changes that will occur during that period.
Now tell me this, Madeline, does that actually imply, or tells me anyway, this is how I perceive it, that with a whole bunch of the failings of what we call security, there's a lot of potential revolutionary new ways for us to generate money?
Absolutely. Good. Yes, and money, if you really get down to it, and I only mention this because I teach prosperity training.
Okay.
Money is nothing but energy. Just like everything else that we have, everything at some basic level is made of nothing but energy. So really, we make our own money. It's always available to us with our own energy. So if our energy is low, or we're upset, or we're stressed, or we're angry or resentful or, you know, jealous, money is running away from us because it doesn't like that kind of energy.
I mean, our seven deadly sins.
Or fear. It doesn't like fear either. So anytime we're in fear mode, we're just pushing money away from us.
Hmm.
And if you could imagine that money was no different from your energy, because it's not. Money will always come to you in the same proportion as how good your energy is.
Well, now that's a good way to put it. I've never heard it put that way.
Yeah, so yes, you can easily attract to you anything that you want or need. And remember, too, that even during World War II, when the prisoners of war had no money, they still traded with each other. And very quickly, people developed cigarettes and chocolate as their money, their currency.
Mm-hmm.
And so even if for some reason we didn't have our normal currency, people would continue to trade, and there would be some currency that would be developed very quickly. You see, it's not like, you know, because basically when you're trading, all you're doing is exchanging energy with each other.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just know that in my field, and probably in yours, there's a flurry of trading going on all the time.
Yes, that's true. Mm-hmm. That is true, yes.
Mm-hmm. Through conversation, usually, or energy, some
right.
Physical energy. Yeah.
Right. So it doesn't matter what type of energy it is, only that you're trading.
All right, so let's talk about, I'm going to push you a little bit here, because we've got people who we talked about this earlier, who spent a life doing a job they didn't like, got their retirement and their house, and all of that has kind of come undone.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to people like that? I mean, there needs to be
the first thing I'd say is, when you are doing something that you don't enjoy, that you don't love, you are pushing money away from you. So this is just a recognition of that situation.
Right.
And the second thing, in terms of being able to survive, because that's really what the deeper question is.
Yes.
If you believe that you will survive, and I believe we all will survive, and I believe that David Wilcox, who is the alleged reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, I believe he is correct when he says that the plane crash we had recently before Obama's inauguration was a metaphor for what's happening to our economic situation. So all those people on that airplane believed they were going to die.
Right.
You know, the plane, they could look out their windows and see that the engines had flames coming out of them, and the plane was descending rapidly, and they were not able to turn it around, didn't have enough control to turn it around and landed at an airport. So, but they did land. Maybe not at an airport, but they did land safely, and nobody's life was lost. And
isn't that
I would,
astounding?
Yeah, it is astounding, actually. And so I would encourage people to see something similar happening for our own economy, and that what will probably happen, because they don't have the correct tools, they're not using the correct tools to actually do a landing. They'd have to give people the money rather than the banks. But, you know, so they may have what I would call a false recovery, because, you know, basically what they're doing is they're creating more debt to get out of debt. Well, you can't save a drowning man by putting more water on him. You see, that's essentially what they're trying to do. But the landing, if they're able to land this economy in the water, mm-hmm. you know, and still float it, you know, and the other countries are able to come to our aid enough, you know, to help us, then, you know, we'll be okay, and I believe we will be okay. And I even heard Kryon said that we will be okay.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that, you know, it makes sense for us to hold that energy and to see ourselves creating a different economy, one that's sustainable, you know, without debt, without the enormous amount of debt that we've built up. I'm not saying you would never go into debt. You'd probably need debt for things like buying a house or a car or something major like that, but you know, there's an enormous amount of credit card debt.
Yes.
That is not really sustainable. People's wages have not increased nearly as much as the percentage of debt. So,
well, and it got to be fashionable to have what you wanted.
Yes.
You know, the idea of saving the money for it hasn't really been in vogue for quite a while.
Right, right, mm-hmm. right.
But you know, when you're talking about the economy like crashing into the water, you know, metaphorically,
mm-hmm,
like the
right.
plane and so on. I'm going, well, the thing that I'm thinking is that it's not going to be the saving of the economy as it is it? It's
no.
It's like the banks. People say the banks are going down. I'm going, well, I'm kind of expecting that, actually.
Yes, the banks.
Is that wrong? Or?
No, I think that's correct. The banks, when I've looked at it, especially the big banks, do not have nearly enough assets in order to cover their risk. So, you know,
I heard they were stretched out on derivatives.
Very, very stretched out on derivatives, yes.
I
can't remember the exact number now, but it was somewhere around $90 trillion that Bank of America had in derivatives.
Wow.
And
I heard it was $300 trillion altogether out there.
Oh, there's way more than that.
Oh, really?
Way more than that. Worldwide, I think it was something like Q3 of 2007, it was already $681 trillion.
Well, and for people at home who might not remember what derivatives are, we had somebody on talking about it one time, but they're basically bets against what might happen as opposed to anything that's got some substance to it.
That's a great way to put it. And it's a very legalized form of gambling, basically. So why are your banks involved in derivatives? It's insane.
It is insane.
Yeah, it is insane. And at one time, they were prohibited from anything like that. And there was a, I can't remember the name of this act now, but it happened during the '90s, I believe.
Glass.
I believe it happened during Clinton's administration.
It's something glass, or but.
And so a lot of the banks were, you know, the regulations were deregulated at that point, and they were able to do things that they hadn't been able to do before. So that was one of them. They were able to invest in things that were risky, which really should not have been allowed, because, you know, that's our hard-earned money.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, from my perspective, that was an inappropriate situation that we allowed to happen. But
we didn't fight it, did we?
We didn't fight it. That is exactly right.
And probably
yes.
Because we don't pay enough attention, or maybe it isn't
exactly
understood or something.
Well, and part of it is that Americans have gotten used to giving their power away, and it's time for them to take it back.
Right. That's the old slavery thing, huh?
Well, you know, you can't enslave somebody who isn't willing to be enslaved.
Well, now we have to think about that. Well, I think we live, you know, back to hypnotherapy, which I studied years ago, is we live a lot of our lives in trances, and sometimes
uh-huh.
the art of waking up is a big, you have to really focus on it to get out of it, don't you?
Yes, that's true. Yes, you do.
So what do you see, how people can be involved in the creation of the new system?
That's an excellent question. First of all, I think the new system, the new economy, has to be one that is based on integrity. And it's actually more than just the economy, because I think our choices in our day-to-day lives will have to be based on integrity and by being in our hearts rather than our heads. So it can't just be that we make a choice that's based on, oh, it's more profitable to pollute the earth. That's not going to be a choice that I think is going to be allowable in this new economy. So we have to make different choices that are important, that consider everybody's needs and not just our own. It's not enough to take care of number one. We have to take care of everybody else in terms of how we're impacting other people with our choices. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is there has to be less debt. I do not think that people will have credit cards the way they do now. They might have one credit card, you see, but they're not going to have three or four or eight or ten. I think those days are going to go away.
Thank you, God.
And people who have lost the ability to pay their credit cards will just not have credit cards. They'll have to live on whatever they can with their, you know, with their money that they have from paycheck to paycheck, you know, basically off of their debit cards.
Mm-hmm.
And
so what do you think would be more like, also credit unions rather than banks, or something in which we participate in it?
That's a possibility. I do think that is a possibility, yes. It could be a credit union instead of just a regular bank. But somehow the banking system, I mean, there will be some type of a banking system, I'm sure, because you have to have some way for transactions to occur easily.
Can you explain, this is foundational to what you're talking about, can you explain a bit about the Federal Reserve?
Okay. Yeah, that's a kind of a major piece of the banking system, actually.
It really is.
Yes, and speaking of corruption and greed,
and slavery,
we should especially talk about the Federal Reserve and its part in this situation.
Exactly.
Federal Reserve was started in December of 1913, and it was passed under very interesting circumstances. So it made it through committee by having a committee meeting from 1 to 4 a.m. a few days before Christmas. And then it was passed when a lot of people had already gone home for Christmas. And
good plan, eh?
Yes. Yeah, because, you know, there's less resistance to it, basically. And, of course, it was sold as a way to even out the sort of boom and bust cycles, which actually did not occur. The Great Depression occurred under the watch of the Federal Reserve, and actually there's plenty of evidence that the Federal Reserve created it with its own actions.
Why would they do that?
They wanted the New York banks to become more powerful than the Midwest banks. Back then, the Midwest banks were more powerful because that's where all the agriculture was.
Uh-huh.
And so a lot of those Midwest banks went belly up, as you might remember, when there were runs on the banks.
Mm-hmm.
So the Federal Reserve actually is not a federal organization, nor is it a reserve. So great name, but it does not represent anything at all about the Federal Reserve. It's actually a private corporation.
Who owns it?
Some of the wealthiest bankers in the world own the Federal Reserve.
Like the Rockefellers and the...
Right, exactly. And the shareholders, it's very hard to get the names of the shareholders for that organization. A lot of this stuff is protected. The Federal Reserve...
Is it a Masonic thing?
Well, I don't know the answer to that exactly, but it's not impossible.
Okay.
I think it's more related to, you know, who has the power has the money.
Mm-hmm.
And their primary product, of course, is the U.S. dollar.
Mm-hmm.
For every U.S. dollar that they create, they get interest from the federal government for it, which means that the federal government can never be out of debt, ever, because our Federal Reserve is charging them interest on every dollar that's out there. And, of course, it's in the Federal Reserve's highest good to create more and more dollars because then they are wealthier and wealthier and wealthier. But every time they create more and more dollars, especially now that it's not backed by gold, they just simply devalue the value of the dollar.
So this is another level of that slavery we keep talking
yes,
about.
Yes, exactly right.
Oh, wow. And this has got to break apart. Come on, Madeline.
Yes, it does. Yeah. Absolutely right. And the Federal Reserve's chart right now is under tremendous pressure to transform to something completely different. Now, if I had my druthers, and I should note that no one has asked me my opinion about this.
I'm asking you, girl.
I mean, no one in Congress or Obama hasn't called me lately or anything like that. But if I had my druthers, the Federal Reserve would be abolished or at the very least nationalized.
Mm-hmm.
And you might not actually be able to go back to having it abolished. But obviously we worked fine without it for quite a long time, longer than we've had it, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know... So
some illumination about its historical tracks would probably be wise.
Yes. I mean, it's basically a setup to make certain people very wealthy while making the taxpayers poor.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if that's in the most simplistic terms that I can put it.
But you see, what's interesting to me is, and you said something which in many ways I agree with, which is we wouldn't be enslaved if we hadn't been in agreement to it. But I'm going, you know, sometimes it gets pretty darn subtle, huh?
That's true. I think it was President Wilson who signed it into office, or, you know, signed it into law, who said that if the American people realized what had occurred when he signed it into law, that they would be out in the streets, you know, up in arms, out in the streets. But of course we're not.
But how come we didn't know?
No, because we're not supposed to know.
So you see, I do go back to the enslavement thing. There is
yes.
a level of it going on.
Yes, there is. But you see, my point about that was that our consciousness allowed it.
Yes.
There's a certain level of our consciousness that didn't want to know.
Okay, so I think, I agree, but I just want to bring that out. Because
right.
Somehow the media controls and all the dereg and that has made it harder for some of this information to be available as well.
That's true. And there, I can't remember the name of this congressman, but there was a congressman in, I think, 1931 or 32 that worked very hard on talking about the evils. Really, he called the Federal Reserve evil.
Hmm.
And he was working very hard to get it eliminated, and he was killed. And of course, you know, all the conspiracy theorists have, you know, their top guy for doing it would be the Fed, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way to prove it or disprove it. But it's a challenge to get that information out to the public, although it's out there much more now. There's a book called The Creature from Jekyll Island. The Creature from Jekyll Island, because the Federal Reserve was actually hatched, so to speak, or conceived of on an island called Jekyll Island by the wealthy people there. And there's another book, I think, called The Money Masters. And you can look these up online and get a hold of them. They're actually very enlightening books.
Are they really?
Very enlightening books. And The Creature from Jekyll Island is a big book, but it has summaries at each end of the chapter that even if you just read the summaries, you would get a great deal of information and follow what's going on a lot better.
Hmm.
So that's a great book to utilize in educating yourself about what's happening in the economic situation. So the banking system actually has to, in order for the banking system to transform, and the Federal Reserve's chart is showing major amounts of transformation now through the end of the year.
Okay.
In order for that to happen, the Federal Reserve itself must transform. You can't just have a banking system that transforms, you know, without the lead organization transforming as well.
Right.
So my hope is that at the very least the Fed will be nationalized and will stop this insanity of paying these wealthy bankers interest on our own money. That's insane.
Hmm.
You see? So we need to do something in that way. And hopefully that is one of the possibilities that will come out this year. More people are finding out about it. And more people should be up in arms about it. It's ridiculous. It's
okay,
insane.
So now when we, and thank you for that. You've really got me thinking here now, girl. But when you say that the Federal Reserve chart is showing there has to be transformation, we spoke earlier about when, how death shows in a chart. And you said that there were like 5 points of change that can be deaths that are showing up in a chart. Is that kind of what we're seeing here?
That's an interesting question. You're talking about a person versus an organization's chart.
But can't that...
They be similar?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But generally speaking, when you have an organization, a death is usually a transformation that continues the organization in a different state. It doesn't have to be death per se,
okay,
as we would think of death, for a person. So this particular transformation for the Federal Reserve has to do with the U.S. dollar, it has to do with the organization itself, and it has to do with their reputation. All of them are being challenged at the same time throughout this whole year, and we'll see
what
happens.
Sounds like a good
thing. Yeah, it is a good thing, but probably... The U.S. dollar could fail. It's one of the possibilities, anyways. This is the U.S. dollar could fail. And it will fail at some point, and I can say that unequivocally, because in the entire history of the world, there has never been any currency ever that was successful when it wasn't backed by a metal standard like gold or silver.
Hmm.
So since we no longer have a gold standard, and that was done away with by President Nixon back in the early 70s.
Tricky Nicky.
Yes, and since we no longer have a gold standard, one of the things that has to happen to our currency is that it has to become at least partially backed by gold in order to have value again. Because at the moment, you know, your U.S. dollars may be worth, I don't know, 2 or 3 cents, you know, at the most.
Hmm.
Maybe not worth that much for much longer.
It's kind of a derivative in itself, isn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of a major mess, actually.
So Madeline, dear Madeline, what do we do?
Well, I have recommended for quite a long time for people to buy gold with any savings that they have, because gold is a very long-term store of wealth.
What about silver?
I'm not as hot on silver as I am on gold, because if they change the currency, they will back it partially with gold. Silver is not valuable enough to, you know, in comparison, you know, if you look at the price of silver versus the price of gold, you know, it's one-tenth or less, you see. So it's even less than that. It's like a hundredth or something, you know. So you don't have enough value in silver to be able to cover the currency. But if you used gold, you could do probably at least 10 or 20% or maybe more you could back with gold.
I think I heard somewhere that it was really hard to get gold right now.
It can be hard to get gold, although I think, depending on who you buy it from, some places are still getting gold coins from Canada, the maple leaves from Canada, which are even purer than the ones we have here.
I heard that it was hard to get those right now.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's hard to get gold, but you can get on a list. And, you know, there's places online available that will put you on a list and things like that. And, of course, people sell it, so, you know, if you happen to be in line when somebody sells it, you know, you'll get it.
And a lot of people are buying gold jewelry and collecting it and so on and so forth.
That's true. Yeah, that's another way to do it.
Okay, so that's the first suggestion. After that, what?
I would, for certain, get out of fear.
Okay.
Because being in fear is just going to push money away from you.
Okay.
That would almost certainly ensure that you would lose your job.
Okay.
So the attitude to have is that even if you lost your job, that would mean that the universe was going to bring you something better, that you were going to be given an opportunity to do something that, for which you are passionate and have some meaning and purpose for you and would still pay your bills, you see. So, you know, you want to look at it in a way that it's a positive gift, meaning even if you lost your job, there's something better there for you. And I have to say, of course, I've been self-employed since 1995, and I personally would much rather be self-employed now than to have a regular job.
Oh, me too. I don't know if I could do a regular job right now because our life is so in touch with who we are.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. It would be hard for us to go back. But, you know, in general, you have maybe 100 bosses or 200 bosses or 1,000 bosses, and, you know, the person who has a job has one.
So what do you think also? I'm so fascinated by all this, and like I told you, intuitively I always see these new projects and new businesses rising, even around the world.
Yes.
You don't hear about them on the news, but do you have anything to say about that besides working for ourselves, which
I think the whole thing with the green economy has to happen. So a lot of the new businesses will be to recreate an economy which works environmentally.
Mm-hmm.
And
I heard there was a whole television station. I haven't checked it out yet.
A whole television station about green?
Yeah, it's called the Green Station, I think.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's a great example. So there's just one example of how you could have new businesses related to this whole new economy. So there's going to be a lot of new businesses that will start up. I had a guest on my show, you know, as a caller, just calling in, and he was asking about a business that he's doing where they go into businesses and help them become green.
Oh, wow, that's a great idea.
Yeah, exactly, and that's exactly what we need right now. So,
well, I keep seeing, you know, how wonderful it would be for so many houses, people are walking out of them in certain parts of the country because they're, you know, in over their heads and so
mm-hmm.
on. I keep thinking if you had enough money to go in and take over, like, even a whole neighborhood of them or, you know, whole groups and then get those into the green thing and making community consciousness.
Wow, that's a great idea.
I don't have that much money right now, but gosh knows.
But somebody might.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there's so much that can be done.
Exactly. And we're using resources now in all kinds of ways that are inappropriate. So it's just really a matter of putting the resources in a different direction.
Exactly. Now, you've got several. I want to talk about your various programs because, boy, you're a busy woman, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
You have a wonderful newsletter. Let me see here. I'll let you tell about it. But you have online classes, and you have eight keys to. You've got prosperity training. That
yes.
Would be very good for people. You want to talk about
yes.
that?
Yes. We do an 8-month program for training people in prosperity. It's a one class a month with one coaching session 2 weeks later. And the reason we do it this way is we want to work with people so that they get it at a deeper level. Because prosperity actually comes about not when you learn it mentally. That's just maybe step one. But when you learn it emotionally, that's when it works. You see, you can't make it work if you're thinking one thing, if you're thinking, oh, the universe is bringing me lots of money, and you're feeling fear in your guts that, oh, man, I don't have enough money to pay the rent. When you're doing that, you're sending the message, you're sending mixed messages to the universe and can't possibly figure out what you want. So you don't get anything. You know, you don't get what you want, which is more money.
Or you hear people saying, oh, but will it last, you know?
Oh, exactly. Will it last? Totally not realizing that they and they alone are in charge of how much money they get to have every single day of their lives. It's because we're always creating, constantly creating, every single moment of our waking life. I'm not talking about when you're sleeping, but while you're awake from moment to moment, you're sending out a vibration, which is your point of attraction. And it's from that you are receiving whatever experiences are coming into your life, including how much money you have. So it's as though the universe says, write your own paycheck. And we are doing it with our own energy. Mm. So, you know, if you have a night where you didn't get enough sleep and you don't feel good during the next day, you're sending money away from you. You know, if you're eating the wrong foods and you don't feel good, you're sending money away from you. You know, if you're not getting exercise and your body isn't feeling energized, you're sending money away from you. You know, and if you're going to work and hanging out with people who are negative or, you know, friends who are negative, and they're always talking about negative things and framing everything negatively, then your energy is going to be lower by hanging out with them, and that's going to send money away from you. So there are a number of very practical things that a person can do to bring more money to them. And I talk about a lot of them on my radio show, which is on Fridays at 10 a.m. Pacific time. And it's on the drpatshow.com. And on my website and on the Dr. Pat Show site, there are all these archives of the shows that I've done recently, and actually all of the shows that I've done. So anyone can listen to any of the prosperity training I've done with that, or they could sign up for 8 Keys to the Ultimately Prosperous Business, which is the 8-month program that we do. And we also just sell the CDs for the program as well.
Great.
So anyone can take it at any time.
Good old number 8, which is a number of what, business?
And business and wealth and prosperity. Yeah, yes. It's not an accident, obviously.
So, and you have a newsletter. What kind of newsletter is it telling us what's going on in the...
Yes, the newsletter I do is called the Good Timing Newsletter. It's actually an adjunct to my Good Timing Guide, which shows you what the energies are for each day.
So the Good Timing Guide is a daily guide that's a whole year long?
Yes.
Okay.
So it's almost like a calendar, except that it's telling you, you know, what are the energies for each day rather than what the day of the week is. I mean, it tells you the day of the week, but, you know, it's telling you what the energies for that day are. So you can easily see, is this a day I want to start something important? Is this a day I want to make that important phone call, sign a contract, do something where I'm going to make some money, you know, that kind of thing.
Tell me this, what has EFT got to do with it? EFT is an emotional freedom technique, which is a tapping technique, right?
Yes. Now, that is not related to the Good Timing Guide, but I will come back to that in just a moment. But I wanted to finish answering your question about the Good Timing Newsletter.
Okay.
The Good Timing Newsletter actually tells about all the trends. The trends are not actually covered in the Good Timing Guide because that's just your day-to-day. Here's what's happening on a day-to-day basis. But the trends of, like, what's happening in the economy, what's happening for businesses, what are, how do you work with these energies that we're encountering now, mm-hmm. those kinds of things are all in my Good Timing Newsletter with email updates. So the newsletters come out quarterly, and in between I send out email updates so I can help people understand what's happening energetically and how to work with the energies.
And remember, we were talking earlier about how fast the vibrations are moving up on the planet these days,
yes.
in the universe.
Yes.
Is your Good Timing Guide, is that, you know what I'm saying, is it astrologically or in these guides, do they show the crazy fast movement?
The Good Timing Guide is a color-coded guide, so it looks like kind of like a stoplight, red, green, yellow, and I think I've got one other color in there, blue, for one particular situation. But so the guide itself does not have an easy way to show the speed of the acceleration of change, which you and I were talking about. Those are the kinds of things I talk about in my newsletters.
Okay.
Yeah, and the acceleration of change is mostly noted by the Mayan calendar, which has what they call 9 underworlds, meaning 9 periods of transformation. And as each succeeding period of transformation occurs, they get to be 1/20th in terms of time. They're 1/20th the amount of time of the preceding period. So the period that we're in right now means that if we started in 1999 and it lasts roughly 12.8 years, and in that time period we'll do the same amount of transformation as we did in the previous 254 years. And then when that's over, we'll have another 260-day period, and we'll do the same amount of transformation in that 260 days as we're now doing in the 12.8 years we're in now.
Stunning, isn't it?
It is. So this is actually one of the reasons why we teach people to work in integrity and use their intuition. You know, to be in integrity with their heart and to use their intuition, because you want to make like a gyroscope, you mm-hmm. see, in order to handle this continuous acceleration of change.
So, and not get stuck by your own old beliefs.
Right, and our old methods of making decisions were things where you went off and researched something, and you spent weeks or, you know, days, weeks, or months researching something, depending on how big the decision was, and then you made your choice, you see. You don't have time to do that now.
Right.
You have to be working from your heart, from your intuition, and be willing to trust yourself, because you don't have time to go off and do all the old processes that we were trained to do, you know, 20 years ago. There isn't time for that now.
And even all the manipulations and cons and all that stuff take too long.
Yeah, that's right.
No, it's a very fascinating time.
It actually is very exciting, I think.
And I was looking at your Good Timing Guide thinking, well, maybe the red shows up more often or the green shows up more often, you know, because it's all moving so fast. But I suppose it isn't like that.
No, actually, no, it's not like that. But the speed of transformation is quite fast now. And, you know, there's certain people who believe that, you know, the Earth is ascending to a higher dimension, and that is the primary purpose behind all of this change that we're going through. And you can think of dimension as a state of consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So as we ascend to a higher state of consciousness, a lot of the things that we used to do that we took for granted are going to pass away, because we're going to look at them and say, gosh, we don't need to do that anymore. You know, like kill our earth, kill our, detoxify ourselves. You know, have you ever seen The Story of Stuff?
No.
Oh my gosh, you should definitely take a look at The Story of Stuff. And I think it's called storyofstuff.com.
Oh, I have seen part of, yes, I did.
Yeah, Annie Leonard, I believe, does that.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating to see, you know, what, how does stuff come into being and what happens to it? What is the real life cycle of stuff, you see, and what happens to it? And she's making a very basic point that what's going on here is insane.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, it's insane because, you know, we're destroying the earth. Literally, we're destroying the earth with making stuff that, you know, goes back into dumps.
It's biting the hand that feeds us.
Yes.
And getting trapped or enslaved by our want, our desires.
Yeah,
so.
It's insane. So,
well, unfortunately,
yeah.
I have to end this because I could go on all day. I have many, many avenues to explore with you, so perhaps you'll come on again.
Oh, I'd love to, and thank you so much for having me.
Oh, I've enjoyed it, but would you tell people how to get hold of you?
Oh, absolutely. I have a toll-free number, which is 877-524-8300. That's 877-524-8300. And my website is PolarisBusinessGuides.com. That's P-O-L-A-R-I-S, business spelled regular, guides with an S on it, .com.
And the show is at on drpat.com, 10 o'clock on Friday mornings. They'll catch you live. Right?
Yes, that's right.
Can people call you there?
Yes, they can. I usually do call-ins the second half of the show, and this Friday I'll be talking all about time.
Excellent. Maybe I'll catch that.
Yes, and my last week's show was about 2009 predictions.
Oh, great.
For the economy, so they can catch that online as well.
Excellent. Well,
yes.
We should have gotten into that, but we'll do that one of these other times.
Great. Well, thank you so much for having me on your show.
Thank you so much for joining us, Madeline. Now, that was Madeline Gerwick of Polaris Business Guides, and oh, boy, I'm really inspired. I have a lot to learn and a lot to be inspired about with that, a lot of reading to come up with, or maybe it's intuitive reading. This is Veronica Entwistle saying, well, paradigm shifters, let's all join together next week. And I believe my next week's guest, and he hasn't confirmed it yet, I've made this up, is Randy Masters, who's really a maestro of musical healing. And he does what? He does a lot of things. He does performance. He creates his own music, but he also works with tuning forks and healing and connecting people. And he's got all kinds of amazing tools of ascension on his website, which I gave the wrong name earlier. ResonantLiving.com is the right name. ResonantLiving.com. He's been on before. I've had him on twice. And people, a lot of you have fed me back that you really enjoyed him. So I'm hoping to be sitting with him one-on-one in Aptos, California, and talking to him next Paradigm Shifters next week at 5 o'clock. And 8 o'clock on Thursday night, I'll be with Jackie Salvitti on ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness, speaking with her team and interviewing her team on how they see things happening, patterning, changing on the planet. Maybe I'll ask them about the Federal Reserve. What do you think? Now, this is Veronica Entwistle. Oh, and my show next Tuesday at 4 o'clock is going to be, I don't know what it's going to be about, but it's a call-in show. It's all about you and me learning to grow and radiate at a higher level and be the gyroscope that Madeline talked about. I believe that's all. And remember, if collectively we're living from the heart, we can send each other a great deal of love and respect, knowing we're all going through these changes together. It's so wonderful being on global radio all together and knowing we're catching the wave and sending the wave of love around the world. This is Veronica Entwistle saying, if you want a session with me, it's Veronica at Veronica Entwistle, no H in Entwistle.com, Veronica at Veronica Entwistle. com. And if you'd like to be on my mailing list so you know who my next guest is going to be, or if you'd like to give me feedback or suggest guests, please email me. And I want to send light and love to any of you who are struggling with the dynamics of living on the planet, people who are very ill and need support, or people going through big changes and need support. We're sending out love and light and respect and honor, and to one another as well. See you on Thursday night. Many blessings.